Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Come on, everybody, right? Even if you're not a Red Sox fan, and I am an anti-Red Sox fan, you have to, right? So we're in the baseball postseason, and did you watch any of the baseball yesterday, the Mets and the Braves? I didn't watch the games, but
I caught pieces of it, but it was good.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. And also, one of the weirdest scenarios ever. Did you see how this was set up? So they were tied in their record.
Right.
With two games to go. I don't know. How did they have? I know the one game was a delay game. A makeup game. Why was the other game on a Monday? Do you know? I didn't know the answer to this question. It seemed
to
like
see who would advance.
No, but I mean they were two games short 162, so they both needed two games to finish the season.
Right.
So but anyway, but
they split them.
Yeah, I know, but I couldn't figure out why there was actually a game yesterday when all the games ended on Sunday, but aside from the makeup part. But what was weird about it is you had a three-way people trying to get in the postseason, right? You have the Braves and you had the Mets, and then the Diamondbacks were watching. Because if the Mets had gotten both games, then the Diamondbacks and the Mets would be in. And if the Braves had gotten both games, then the Braves and the Diamondbacks would have been in. But if the Mets and the Braves split, then the Diamondbacks are done. They're out. And both the Mets and the Braves get in, which is just a weird scenario. And, you know, if you're a Diamondbacks fan, you're like, let's go. Well, wait, we got to find out who to go. We don't know who we're supposed to root for. Anyway, just we're in the baseball postseason. You played the Sweet Caroline, you know, and the Red Sox. And I, for the life of me, I haven't been paying attention to the postseason at all because I know my team hasn't. The Cardinals have not been ready for the postseason for about a month. I'm actually almost a month behind on my baseball games. I kind of stopped listening. But it lets me listen to them through October and November when I'm not going to be paying attention to the rest of the baseball, most likely until the World Series. Yeah, because you can still enjoy the games, even if they're, you know, in reality they're over, but I can still listen to them like they're fresh to me. You know, I can still pretend. So that's not what I want to talk about here, but you got me off on that playing the Neil Diamond. John Kerry. John Kerry was speaking at the World Economic Forum, and this became one of the more viral clips over the weekend. But as I am not a believer in playing just the juicy clip, I'm a believer in playing the context for you. Because you cannot evaluate the juicy clip unless you understand the context. Here's the context.
So tough. Everybody's resting.
By the way, asked about social media and viewpoint and what can be done about the challenges of social media and misinformation. That was the context.
So tough. Everybody's wrestling with that right now. And I think the dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies. In terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. The referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact have kind of, been eviscerated to a certain degree. And people go and that people self-select where they go for their news or for their information. And then you just get into a vicious cycle.
And of course, he's right about this. That, social media, not just that they self-select. By the way, the big lie about social media is that people self-select themselves into these enclaves of ideological isolation. You know, you create your own ivory tower, and it's not necessarily ivory, but you hang out with the people that think like you, and you see content, you choose content. The problem is that's partially true, but also social media feeds you that viewpoint reinforcement. Right? It feeds you that. Okay, it also feeds you rage and anger, but it really caters to that. As opposed to, traditionally what the news would tell you was the stuff that, we thought was good for you to hear, was useful for you to hear. Not just only what you wanted, which of course is a long byproduct of over the years, even news becoming more, for example, ad-driven, therefore more popularity-driven, therefore give the people what they want, not necessarily what the people need. You know, there's been changes a lot, but generally speaking, he's right, okay? One of the problems with modern information is that, when you've got 63 different channels of news, and then you can just pick the one that tells you what you want to hear the most. It's not just a social media problem. That's a broadcast problem. That's a radio problem. That's a newspaper problem, right? It's across the board, okay? But he continues.
So it's really, really hard, much harder to build consensus today than at any time in the 45, 50 years I've been involved in this. And you know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have, you know, some accountability on facts, et cetera.
Yeah, and, you know, how can you make it so that people even know enough to know whether what they're being told is accurate? You know, because that used to be the idea of a sort, that people were informed enough that they could tell when they were being misled or misinformed, or, you know, the information wasn't being, or they were trained in rhetoric and logic and they knew how to understand these things. And he's basically saying, look, this is really a challenge for accountability. And, you know, agreed. I start to get a little bit eye twitchy nervous when people start talking about accountability, because you're starting to talk about who's going to make the accountability, right? But trust me, the good clip is coming, okay? We'll get to the good clip here in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives first. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're still seeing I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, and just a minor delay at the intersection of Highway 29 eastbound right there at 9 Mile Road going east and westbound. Just congestion delay there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, in case you're wondering, no, John Kerry is no longer the climate envoy. He just resigned that seat this year. So he is a former official representative of the United States government. He's not anymore, just because that's going to become relevant here in a second. So we're talking about this issue of, you know, information, ideological isolation, hanging out with people and viewing things that reinforce your viewpoint, not challenging it and all of that. And, you know, how do you get consensus in an environment where everybody's balkanized into their own little, you know, viewpoint world, right? That's the problem he's bringing up. How does social media relate to that? How does traditional media relate to that, and so forth? Okay, this is the money clip. You ready? If you have not heard this before, this is hang on to your steering wheel kind of stuff. Okay, so hold on. Here we go.
But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick, and, you know, has an agenda, and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence.
Oh, what? You know, in an ideal world, what would happen is that people would say false things, and then we could just make them disappear. We could disappear them, hammer them out of existence. But dang it, that bleeping Constitution. You know, that stupid First Amendment. We can't just hammer them out of existence. Ugh. What can we do? Hear it again.
Our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence.
At this point, it would have been reassuring if a former United States senator and former official representative of the United States on climate issues might have said something a little more balanced about the First Amendment, you know. But the First Amendment also protects dissent. The First Amendment also stands against government abuse of information. You know, it would have been nice in context if something about how the First Amendment does carry a challenge, how to deal with disinformation and lies, but that generally speaking, our belief in the First Amendment is born of the idea that we think in a fair fight, the truth can win. And we don't think that the government should be putting its finger on the scale about information or conclusions that the people should decide. And so it would have been nice to hear that, but no, that's not what we got. Instead, we got, dang it, that stupid First Amendment keeps us from being able to suppress misinformation and stamp it out of existence. My God.
So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't mean implement change like change the First Amendment, that he meant implement the policies. Certainly he's thinking climate change, right? He's certainly, that's his issue. And that's what this is always about. How do we fight the disinformation about climate change online? How do we get more people to realize the absolute unquestionable truth that science has never changed its mind about anything? And like all this stuff. Anyway, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's not talking about changing the First Amendment. He's just talking about how do you gain consensus to act decisively on climate change. Last bit of all of this.
Now, obviously, there are some people in our country who are prepared to implement change in other ways. And
so
that's
you're
really
questioning
dangerous.
Really if democracy can survive unregulated social media.
I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges that we are facing. And to me, that is part of what this race, this election is all about. Will we break the fever in the United States?
Wow. Now, if I didn't know it was John Kerry, theoretically an advocate of the United States, you know, a guy who was in Vietnam, but then that's kind of a checkered history, right? A U.S. senator, but that's also a little bit of a checkered history. Ran for president. John Kerry ran for president. And he's not sure that democracies are nimble enough or powerful enough in the modern disinformation environment to solve problems. Compared to what, sir? Compared to Russia, China, Iran? Who are you thinking of who maybe has the speed and power that you're wishing you had? Because he's right about this. Democracies like ours are slow, ineffective, frustrating. Of course, built that way. The United States was built to be slow, ineffective, and frustrating. Because you know what's fast, effective, and at least to some people satisfying? Authoritarian regimes, dictatorships, monarchy, communism. They're real fast. All you got to do is the one guy decides or the Politburo decides and you act. And you act decisively because it can marshal all the resources. The problem is that quick is not necessarily good when it comes to politics. Quick is also very dangerous and tends to suppress things we believe in, like individual rights and the power of the individual dignity. And I mean, so, yes, our system is very, very frustrating, on purpose, designed to be that way. You know, when people complain about, you know, God, government's slow. Good. Really, really, really good. You want government to be slow. The more it does quickly, the worse it does, historically. So it would have been nice for him to put some of that in context. But no, instead, he's upset that, this stupid democracy and its free speech. God, how are we going to, like, get people to believe in man-made climate change that cows farting and people not driving hybrids is killing the planet? How can we get them to behave better if we can't even suppress this stupid internet? God. I mean, like, turn in your American card, sir. And you should, I was really, my first response to this was, well, he should definitely be fired. I hadn't realized he had resigned his post as the climate czar. He should not be working for any administration or any office. Like, this is impeachable speech. How could there be such a thing? Because you're free to say it, and you're free to get removed from office for saying it. That pesky first, this is an unbelievable thing for a former senator, former presidential candidate, and former official representative of the United States on climate issues to say out loud at the World Economic Forum.
Our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence.
Some of us think that's a virtue. Some of us don't think of it as a roadblock, handicap, impediment. Some of us think, yeah, just doing what it's supposed to do, man. Wow. 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Bands on the Beach in October means the season is starting to wind down. Every Tuesday night at 7, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority, you've been able to enjoy great live music on Pensacola Beach. This week, the Blind Mullets take the stage. They're from Perdido Key, and they play everything from Lynyrd Skynyrd to Lenny Kravitz. It's Bands on the Beach tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
It's not about money. It's about sending a message. Everything burns.
Say what I will at least sometimes say in reference to the movie Batman the Dark Knight. A, one of the greatest movies of all time. B, you could preach a series of sermons on that movie for weeks at least. Weeks at least.
Well, come on, brother.
I've done it before. I don't have time to do it now.
Okay.
No, but he's the Joker is one of the greatest theologians in movie villainy history. You say, well, he's a villain. Yeah. Yeah. But
you going to see the new Joker movie?
Oh, of course I will. I mean, I will watch it at home. Not at the movie theater. But no, that aside from the performances and all of that, that was like there's some deep, deep truth in that movie. 626 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens got traffic for us. John,
that's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 still rolling smoothly even through the construction zones. Not seeing any delays to hamper your way in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody texts and says, Andrew, don't worry when they get that Second Amendment taken care of, that pesky Second Amendment out of the way. They'll take care of the First Amendment, no problem. Somebody else says, John Kerry isn't advocating against First Amendment with the government. We're losing the truth information war, and honestly, one side has a much longer history of being politically dishonest. Yeah, I think that probably cuts the way you don't think it cuts. Fox News should be able to lie to old people. That's what the First Amendment is for. LOL. Like he's being sarcastic about that. So I actually agree with the criticism of news outlets being not great arbiters of truth. You know, Donald Trump capitalized on an anti-establishment, anti-media sentiment that was strong and not totally wrong. You know, the feeling that network news, newspapers, and the like have been misleading us or shading the game, you know, finger on the scale kind of balls and strikes calling for years, you know that's true. I mean, even read, who was the bias author? Was that Koppel? I can't remember now. But yeah, I mean, it's just true, okay? And he capitalized on that. Now, that doesn't mean that all news can't be trusted. And part of the reason that you have all this sort of balkanization of the news now is because they didn't do their job for a long time. And I know somebody who disagrees with me a lot might say, well, Andrew, you don't do any better. Okay, when you're listening to me, can you not tell the difference between this is fact I'm reporting and these are conclusions I'm drawing? Surely you can. And surely you got to believe that when you're listening to me, and I'm just one example, okay, and I wish more people would do it better, but they don't always. You also recognize, I hope, that if you disagree with me, you still come off learning more, even about your own side half the time, then, right? The ability to explain even the other side is crucial. So I actually agree. We can all do better. Fox News can do better. CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC. Everybody can do better in this regard. I totally agree with you about that. That doesn't mean the solution is get rid of that pesky First Amendment. It's kind of like the free market. The market is the solution for market problems. Free speech is the solution for abusive speech problems, not government regulation. 6:29 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Unless we're just going to abandon the American project, because that's what you're talking about. And I'd rather see it crash and fail than abandon the principles that might allow it to succeed. Sorry, David. Go ahead, sir.
Well, the death toll in Asheville, North Carolina from Hurricane Helene now is at least 40, and the number of people still missing is unclear. Apparently, still 90% of cell phone service around that area is still out.
Yeah, the latest numbers I'd heard were about 600. We've been talking about 1,000 right. The day before, but 600 unaccounted for. We have no idea.
So the recovery there will likely take probably several years, I would imagine. The White House has no plans to intervene in a port workers' strike that's currently underway. Members of the International Longshoremen's Association walked off their jobs at midnight when their contract expired. J.P. Morgan is estimating that this strike could potentially cost the country $5 billion a day to the economy.
Wow, unbelievable. Hey, Taste of Gulf Breeze comes up this Friday at the Gulf Breeze Community Center from 6 to 9. It is a great time and I have two tickets for you, 437-1620. You can win them right now. Be caller number 4, 21 and up, because there is alcohol.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Dock workers at ports from Maine to Texas have started walking picket lines for the first time in nearly 50 years. Longshoremen Association President Harold Daggett.
We are fighting for our families, and we are fighting for the rights so that we have a right to get a piece of that money that they got so much of, and we're going to do it. We're going to walk away with a great contract.
Sticking points involve wage increases and the use of automation. President Joe Biden is planning to survey devastation in the mountains of western North Carolina tomorrow, where hundreds of people are still missing after Helene.
Active National Guard and other agencies are out in the air when the light comes up looking for people because they're still cut off with no power, no cell phone service, no food, no water.
That is Fox Weather's Robert Ray in Asheville, North Carolina. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 75 degrees in Pensacola. Well, it's now October, and that means that it's the last month you can catch the Blue Angels performing a practice air show over our Pensacola skies. They don't have any practice shows scheduled until mid-month, though. October 16th is their first one after they return from San Francisco. There's shows on the 16th, the 22nd, and the 23rd. The 16th and the 23rd are also autograph days at the National Naval Air Museum. On the practice days, NAS Pensacola gates open at 9, flight line gates at 9:30, practice begins at 10:30. And then, of course, the Angels wrap up their air show season alongside the Air Force Thunderbirds for the homecoming air show, and that's going to be November 1st and 2nd. The formation chance for the low-pressure system in the Caribbean Sea, just a little bit lower today.
The formation chance through 7 days as of today is 40%. Please note that is down from 50% over the weekend, so it's a little bit lower on that formation chance, but still considered medium.
And that is Channel 3 meteorologist Alan Strum. He says that system could potentially develop and shift upwards into the Gulf of Mexico. Forecasters do say if anything develops, it would likely be later this week or potentially over the weekend. A Pensacola man has been sentenced to 22 years in federal prison on drug and firearm charges. 42-year-old Willie Frank Gordon was sentenced recently after a previous conviction on federal charges of possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine and cocaine, possession of a firearm in furtherance of a drug-related crime, possession of a firearm by a felon, and a federal supervised release violation. Well, it's a news headline you've seen way too many times. Another fatal motorcycle crash. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says a lot of these crashes are caused by riders that don't follow the rules of the road.
Motorcyclists need to drive with their head on a swivel and not be speeding and not be breaking traffic laws as well. And I see a lot of that. You'll see these guys on these you know, Japanese bikes that will be doing 120, and they won't even stop when you light them up because they know you can't catch them. So and people like that die a lot.
And Sheriff Johnson tells News Radio that another issue is distracted drivers. He says there's a lot of people out there texting and driving, doing other things that take their attention off the road. He says if you're distracted, there's no way to see a motorcycle when it's on the road. Recovery from Hurricane Helene and the storm's aftermath could potentially take years in some parts of the southeast, especially in western North Carolina around Asheville. The death toll there tripled yesterday. It's up to 40 now across the region. 130 deaths have been reported in the days since Helene made landfall in Florida. It was a Category 4 hurricane. And disaster recovery centers have been opened here in Florida. The Florida Division of Emergency Management announcing yesterday that three recovery centers have opened in Hillsborough, Manatee, and Sarasota counties. Also, points of distribution have been opened in impacted areas. The Alabama National Fair coming up this week. That started 70 years ago in Montgomery. That's being held at the Garrett Coliseum and starts this coming Friday. Vice President Kamala Harris says the federal government will do anything it can to help those who've been impacted by Hurricane Helene.
The devastation from Hurricane Helene is immense. Millions of Americans are without power. Thousands of families have lost their homes. Entire neighborhoods have been destroyed.
Harris visited FEMA headquarters yesterday to thank workers for their response to the storm. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. This report is brought to you by Judy Justice. A new era begins, and she's just getting started. That's Judy Justice. Check your local listing to watch Judy Justice. It's out now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. No accidents to let you know about, but we are seeing some delays if you are headed into from downtown Milton into East Milton. Also around 87, seeing a little minor delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Plenty of sunshine today with just a few passing clouds, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Keeping that sunny weather around for your Wednesday, high near 89 degrees. Low Wednesday night near 69 degrees. For Thursday, rain chances increase with a 50% chance of rain, high near 85. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 75 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 73 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Retail investing platform Robinhood announced that it is offering customers in Europe the ability to transfer cryptocurrencies in and out of its app. The company said that it will allow customers to deposit and withdraw more than 20 digital currencies, which includes Bitcoin, USD Coin, and Proofpoint is exploring an initial public offering sometime in the next 12 to 18 months. That's according to the company's CEO, Sumit Dhawan. It would mark the second time Proofpoint has gone public since the company was acquired in 2021 for $12.3 billion. 87% of couples reported including cash funds in their wedding registry, according to recent data from Zola. Of couples collecting cash, 37% are putting that money toward purchasing a home. The trend is not surprising. Mortgage rates have doubled since 2022. Futures are mixed to start the new quarter. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 17. That's Your Money Now.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Join Ballet Pensacola Thursday on Pep Talk at 9 a.m. They're kicking off the highly anticipated season opener of Cinderella. Pensacola Ballet performs this classic story with exquisite choreography from artistic director Stefano Candreva. Cinderella is for all ages. Performances are October the 11th through the 13th and the 18th through the 20th at the Pensacola Cultural Center.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Two competing views of America.
Kamala Harris speaks to her fellow Americans like they're children.
These guys are creepy and, yes, just weird as hell.
J.D. Vance.
The way I see the debate is very simple. It's an opportunity where, for 90 minutes, Governor Walz and I are going to debate the issues that matter to the American people.
Tim Walz.
And I got to tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy.
J.D. Vance and Tim Walz debate their visions for America tonight at 8 p.m. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boy.
So we've had a couple of headlines recently that kind of all deal with the same basic issue, and I wanted to talk about this with you for a minute. 437-1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm going to share with you the headline, okay? Headline number one, this is from, it was in the New York Post, but it was a recycled from news in Australia. Recruiter reveals the real reason unrealistic Gen Zers keep getting fired. Okay, that was one headline. Second headline, this was from, I guess same source, but anyway. My Gen Z employee wanted to leave work early since she finished her tasks. Here's how I replied. And then another one, I don't remember the source from this one, but it was a totally different one to know. Companies are quickly firing Gen Z employees. And there was a study that had been done maybe a week or two ago, and there was a report on it. But the study was basically showing that something like 6 in 10 employers have already fired college graduates hired this year. Like, somebody graduated college, and they hired them in 2024, and 60% of employers have already fired somebody they hired this year. Fired somebody they hired this year. And 1 in 7 now say they might avoid hiring new college graduates next year. Because, this is from the report, this was intelligent.com, Chief Education and Career Development Advisor Hui Nguyen. Many recent college graduates may struggle with entering the workforce for the first time, as it can be a huge contrast from what they're used to throughout their education journey. No kidding. 75% of companies reported that some or all of their recent college graduate hires were unsatisfactory. Employers often cite a lack of motivation in their recent college graduate hires. 39% said poor communication skills. 46% is a lack of professionalism. This cohort is difficult to work with. They don't take criticism, can't handle criticism, don't know what to do with it. They think that if you give them extra tasks, that means they get more money as opposed to an opportunity to grow and learn. The other side of this is some of the Gen Z people who are saying, well, this just means that we're more aware of our limits and we're more into self-care and we don't want to put up with the old abuse system that governed business in this country for, you know, decades. Which I think if you've been employed for a long enough time, you know there's truth in that too, right? You know, because companies will often take and take and take and take and, you know, until you push back. Well, they just push back quickly because they know that they're going to want to push back eventually is kind of the argument for it. The article about the Gen Z employee wanted to leave work early, and this employer, Jesse Marshall, owns Hive HQ, a public relations business. 6 staff members, all Gen Z. Somebody recently said, hey, I'm up to date with my work. Can I just log off? And she said, I think Jerry's a she, said, yeah, fine, go home. And not sarcastically, like, I'm going to fire you in the morning. Like, yeah, it's fine. Now, I think that work often should be based on this is your pile of rocks to move, and when you move the pile of rocks, you get paid, go home. I mean, time-based work is a terrible method of paying people. You should always pay people based on productivity. And so if somebody's got the kind of job where they, you know, if they can do the work in half the time, pay them the same amount of money and let them do whatever they want with the other half of the time. You know, let them, if they want to make twice the money by doing more work, if they want to not do the work, I mean, whatever. Okay, that's a productivity-based, that's almost entrepreneurialism as an employee. And I think as an employer, you should be happy about that. If it takes somebody a long time, oh, well, you know, pay them for the work, not for the time. Anyway, but that's a side note. this issue with Gen Z is that people, like, one Gen Zer admitted they got terminated after falling asleep during an internship. So harsh. Another said they got the axe because they weren't prepared to be treated poorly by managers, which, by the way, doesn't mean that bad management is, you know, a norm, but bad management is common. Let's be honest. And learning how to work for dumb, bad, immoral, skeevy, abusive people is part of work. You know, if you don't like it, start a company. Right? I mean, you know, dealing with difficult people, it's kind of an important character skill, too. Somebody claimed that she got fired because she defended herself. Well, I mean, depending on how you defended yourself, I suppose. It's just, it's a weird world we live in. They're arguing that the soft skills aren't there, the basic ability to operate in adversity, to handle challenges, to handle one-on-one communication because they're, you know, they've lost. This is a simple thing, but one of the things that I have heard again and again and again about younger people is that they don't like talking to people. They don't like phone interactions. They don't like conversations. And so, like, customer service, which is kind of important much of the time, but that requires, you know, interpersonal interaction. And if you're used to texting primarily as a form of communication, as opposed to when we didn't have texting and when we used to have to actually talk on the phone for hours and hours and all the different problems that went with that, but that was a really good thing for developing people. And now people just don't know how to make phone calls. They don't know how to ask for something in person or over the phone, you know, because they're just not accustomed to it. So I see this. I wonder if you're in business, what your sense of this is. Do you feel like the employees who are coming out today are generally great, generally terrible, generally somewhere in between? Has there been a quality shift over the last decade? And I will say this, we have been really lucky here at News Radio in particular. We've had a lot of great young people come to work here. I mean, really, really great. Gracie was great. Davis was great. Austin now is great. You know, I'm talking people who are like under 25. And, you know, I'm leaving people out. But, you know, I mean, Jake's a little bit older, but Jimmy, when he was doing my producing, I mean, you know, like, we've had some really, really great young people work here. I feel like we've got lucky. Like, we've kind of dodged the bullet. And we've had, we haven't had the typical Gen Z. You know, we really haven't suffered from that. But I do think they're out there. And I remember when I was working at the network. Actually, I'll tell you the story in a second. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. We're still seeing I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. Even Highway 90 into Pensacola is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, you know, you're trying to decide if it's time, where to go, where to shop. Hey, Frontier Motors. Very customer service oriented, very friendly, and lots and lots and lots and lots of cars on the lot, 300 different ones. And you can look around, browse, and, you know, you can get kind of close. And if you get close, you can tell them what you're looking for, and they'll go look for it. Because they go buy cars all the time. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is auction day, so they go buy cars all the time. And they'll go looking for you. And the nice thing is that not just, you know, not just do you get a good deal on good quality used car, but you know they'll stand by it. You know, they've been there a long time. They're going to be there a long time. They warranty it for 100,000 miles. And especially, like, right now, I'll just tell you, one of the things that I think people ought to be aware of is the danger of, you know, rain or flood damaged cars. That's going to start to be an issue on the market. You know, it's probably already a challenge over in places that are recovering from the storm quickly, but you're going to start to see that stuff. And how do you know that you're buying it from somebody and it's a good thing? Well, you know, at Frontier, they stand by their cars. So you know that, you know, they'll make sure that it's not that kind of a car to begin with, right? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. So I was telling you when I worked at the network, it was the first time I had really encountered this. And we had a lot of young people at the network. And this is in Oregon. We did syndicated talk show hosts and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I was an executive producer for some national shows. You know, it was a great experience for me. A terrible experience, but a great experience. You know, valuable, right? And I was the old guy in the area. Like, I was, you know, gosh, I would have been 43, because 10 years ago. And part of what they hired me to do was to be not the kid in these environments, in these control rooms, where a lot of kids were working, 22, 24 years old. I just remember I was working on the Rusty Humphrey show at the time. And I was in there in the control room. We're board opping for, you know, executive producing his show. And we had hired a new kid to be a board op. And he was, you know, 22, maybe 21, something like that, just out of college. And we just couldn't pry the phone out of his hands. Like, you're board opping a national radio show. Put the phone down. Like, put it down. Stop. And he wouldn't. Like, he couldn't. Like, he couldn't stop himself. And he thought there was something wrong with us for thinking that it was bad to be trying to run a national radio show and text at the same time. I'm like, bro, you've got to go. And he got fired, you know, because he just couldn't let it go. And that's one of the, just a small little element that I have seen with young people. And look, we all have our various levels of phone interaction and addiction. But it's just breathing is using the phone. And the notion that there's something wrong with that is they think you're weird. And I think, no, we have work to do. You didn't get hired for that. Showing up on time, dressing properly, knowing how to use the language, interacting with people, like kind of all of that stuff. It seems like there's been a change. And is it a byproduct of education? Is it a byproduct of we're not teaching people how to read books or, you know, how to assess information or whatever? And I'm not saying there's no upside. I'm not saying they're not. There's no, I mean, they're very good at seeing through BS a lot of times. They're very good at navigating through technology that, like, people like me are not as good at. No, so I'm not saying all. I'm just saying some of the things, like sort of the basic qualities that make you a good employee. I get why employers wouldn't want Gen Z employees. I get why they'd want you to have had 4 or 5 years of actual work experience first before they hire you, which is, how do you get that? Well, that's the problem. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says, great parents, great employees. Maybe. It takes a lot to overcome what's not being taught in general, what's not being internalized in general by kids. You know, historically, culture, schools, churches have reinforced good parenting. These days, you're really swimming upstream, right? Let's see. Somebody says that generally they're often high as a kite and couldn't care less about tasks. Somebody said, remember, expecting people to show up on time is now considered racist or, you know, harsh or othering or, you know, mean or marginalizing or ableist. Somebody says, the sense of entitlement is strong with the younger generation. It's gotten worse over the years. I see it very strong in my high school students that we have failed by passing them early on. Somebody else says, irrefutably, the quality of it, the average recruit is lower overall. Gen Z troops entering the military, absolutely awful too. I remember, you know, this has been one of the challenges is recruiting numbers are low, so you have to kind of change your acceptance level, but then you have to remediate as well. You got to fix them when you get them in. However, consistent message across the services is that the kids that they're working with are, if you can figure out how to work with them, they're great. Of course, that challenge is figuring out how to work with them. And, you know, historically, maybe you didn't have to so much. You just did, and they did what they were told. They're often a byproduct of where they were graduated from, I think. Somebody says, a new trend I see is them apparently sleeping in their clothes and failed to purchase a comb. That's just fashion changes is all that is. 437-1620. What's that?
The next one says, I was born in a middle-class family. I can't make it up, man. That's good.
John Pickens has got traffic on the five. And by the way, there's no quick solve for this, right? This is, you're talking culture-wide problems. You know, there's no quick answer for this. Just like there's no quick answer for the media bias and people don't have the logic and reasoning and rhetorical skills to assess information and be the citizen holders of authority that democracy is dependent. Like, there's no quick solve to all of this. You know, in my little corner of the media world, I'm trying, you know, 4 hours a day to make things better, but there's no quick solution for any of this. John Pickens has, what am I talking about?
Wait.
Let's just go to a break. Okay. Why don't you play the commercials, man?
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
You've got a Pepto predicament, moviegoer.
Hey, I can hear your stomach grumbling.
Sorry, I ate that entire tub of popcorn with...
extra butter.
You overdid it, and now your movie has turned into a blockbuster bellyache. Undo it with Pepto.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach,
diarrhea,
Pepto chewables provide fast 5-symptom relief, so you can focus on the action on the big screen instead of in your stomach. When you overdo it, undo it with Pepto. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't trust this kid any further than I can throw him.
Well, with your bad knee, Ed, you shouldn't throw anybody.
Bad back, Ed. You really shouldn't throw anybody. Six 56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Gonna have a dance party up in here.
Absolutely. Let's go.
I-10, as you're approaching Highway 29 through that construction zone, starting to see some congestion delays. Right now, it's about a 5-minute delay, but just be aware of it. Also, Highway 29 and 9 Mile, that intersection is showing just a few minutes delay. No accidents to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Somebody texted me and says, what this generation needs is a good red foreman in the ass. Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I changed the way they said it a little bit, but that's right. Red Foreman. We all need a little bit more abuse, right? 657 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, I thought you were a Christian. I am. We need to talk offline. Go ahead, David.
Well, President Biden is expected to visit some of the communities this week that were hit by Hurricane Helene. He said, the president did anyway, that the government will continue sending help to the region for as long as it takes. There's no word if the president will be visiting Asheville, North Carolina. Ryan Ruth was in federal court yesterday. He pleaded not guilty.
Ryan Wesley Ruth faces 5 charges, including the assassination attempt, gun charges, and assaulting an officer. He pleaded not guilty to all of them. If convicted, he faces a maximum sentence of life in prison.
And Ruth was in a federal court yesterday to be arraigned on several charges, including attempted assassination of a major presidential candidate. Andrew, Israel Defense Forces say they have now started limited, localized, and targeted ground raids in Lebanon against Hezbollah. The IDF says their objective is to push Hezbollah forces further away from the border.
It's a classic problem. If Hezbollah in their proximity to Israel is going to use that proximity to fire rockets into Israel, Israel's going to invade Lebanon. It's like, you know, if Russia is going to invade and attack Ukraine, expect that when Ukraine gets the opportunity, they're going to invade back into Russian territory to prevent them from having proximity with ranged weapons. I mean, this is, I hate to see escalation in the Middle East, but it's not Israel that's escalating. It's Israel that's responding.
And I believe from what I saw yesterday, the Lebanese army basically said Hezbollah is kind of on their own.
Yeah, good. Let them be decimated. Let all their pagers and walkie-talkies explode. Yeah, and of course, we're sending more material to the Middle East, you know, because a widening war is not great, but discouraging and preventing a widening war, you know? What Hezbollah needs is Red Foreman, and Israel is capable. of being Red Foreman.
Are they ever?
Exactly right. I do feel, I know there's probably somebody's like, you just swore in front of my 8-year-old and I trusted you, Andrew. I know.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.